Welcome to worship at St. Olaf Lutheran Church in Fort Dodge, Iowa. We are blessed to have you join us in our sanctuary for this online service today. My name is Pastor Emily Sauer, and I would like to thank our participants in today's recording. If you get a chance, please reach out to thank them for sharing their gifts and talents. The Secor family will be providing special music. Bill, Tammy, Amanda, and Robert. Bob and Mark will be recording their services, and Mark will edit them for upload. Jason will be on our organ and piano. Linda and Scott will be our song leaders, and Laura will be providing our children's sermon today. In these days between Ascension and Pentecost, we gather with the disciples in the upper room, waiting for the Spirit to transform the church around the world. In today's gospel, Jesus prays for his followers and for their mission in his name. Amid religious, social, and economic division, we seek the unity that Jesus had with his Father. Made one in baptism, we go forth to live our lives in faith, eager for the unity that God intends for the whole human family. Please light a candle and fill a bowl with water to remember your baptism.
Our opening hymn, number 742, What a Friend We Have, Jesus.
Now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading today is from the book of Acts. Today's first reading is a part of the introduction to the narrative of the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost. These verses tell of the risen Lord's conversation with his disciples on the eve of his ascension, in which he promises that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We read from Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
Our Holy Gospel comes from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all who have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made known your name to those you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, and from the words that you gave me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you have gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, friends. It's time for an experiment this morning. So I would love for you, if your parents are okay with this, to get some sort of clear glass, a box of baking soda, and a small jar, or I guess container, of vinegar, and maybe just a little water. Now I realize it might take you a few minutes to go find all those things. So just hit the pause button right now as you're watching this service Go get all those things and then come right back and we'll do this experiment together. We're going to learn about the Holy Spirit today. Both Scott and Pastor Emily read some very interesting words to help us understand about this Holy Spirit, this comforter, this thing that we don't even really know how to explain that Jesus was going to be with all the disciples. So I thought maybe this experiment will help us understand that just a little bit more. We each have the power of the Holy Spirit in us when we've invited Jesus to live in our lives. And this power can overcome anything and bring us joy overflowing even when we're going through hard times. So let's first start with the glass. The glass is our life. And when we are baptized, we take upon the water of baptism. And it's been so fun that every week of Easter, we remembered our baptism by pouring the water in the font. So now I've poured some water in the glass. And that reminds us that each of us, when we're baptized, our sins are forgiven, we're washed clean, and we're like a new life. But we all know just because we accept Jesus in our life doesn't mean that we won't go through some hard times. So we're going to pour a little bit of problems and some troubles into our water. This is the vinegar now that we're pouring in. Now some of you might be going, "Ooh, this vinegar doesn't smell so great. It's got kind of a strong smell to it." And sometimes that's how we feel about our problems, that they're stinky, we don't want them in our life, we try to figure out how to get rid of them. So it's a good smell to kind of remind us of what that's like. But it can also, vinegar can also add some flavor to our life. And as we go through problems and trials and temptations, it makes us stronger when we rely upon Jesus. All right, so we've got an idea that possibly these two things together are going to work in a powerful way. Because when we know that Jesus is in our life, his great power that he gives us all through the Holy Spirit can overcome all those trials and tribulations. So I'm going to make just a little more room for what might happen here in just a moment. When we use the great tools and power that God gives us through praying and reading God's word and knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in us, amazing things can happen. So, got my Holy Spirit prayer power box right here, the baking soda, and I'm going to start pouring this in. And let's see what happens. Ooh, it doesn't take long. Are you seeing what's happening right here? Yes, it's overflowing. Yes, God's Spirit can control our thoughts and our attitudes, and joy will bubble up and overflow in our life. We all have that Holy Spirit power in us, and all we have to do is call upon God to give it to us in all circumstances. Great fun time, and I hope you'll have an equally successful experiment. Let's put our hands together. One, two, three, and pray. God, we just saw evidence of how powerful your Holy Spirit is that you've given to each and every one of us. We know that it can overcome and support us and encourage us through all of life's trials, as well as filling us with joy, bubbling over, because we know you love us that much. Help us every day to rely on you. And we pray it in Jesus' powerful name. And all God's kids and people said, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today the season of Easter draws to a close and we celebrate the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Next week, we prepare for the festival. festival of Pentecost and then gear up for the long season of green. I have a joke today to get us started. A country preacher decided to skip services one Sunday and head to the hills to do some bear hunting. As he rounded the corner, a dangerous twist in the trail, he and a bear collided, sending him and his rifle tumbling down the mountainside. And before he knew it, his rifle went one way and he went the other, landing on a rock and breaking both legs. That was the good news. The bad news was the ferocious bear charged at him from a distance and he couldn't move. "Oh Lord," the preacher prayed, "I am so sorry for skipping services today to come out here and hunt. Please forgive me and grant me one thing. Please make a Christian out of that bear coming at me. Please, Lord." And in that very instant, the bear skidded to a halt, fell to his knees, clasped his paws together, and began to pray aloud right at the preacher's feet. "Dear Lord, bless this food I am about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen." Today is all about prayer. And it's more than just those last-ditch efforts that we have when we're in a bind and want to get out of some trouble. You know, that "I'm sorry, Lord, if you just do this, fill in the blank, then I will do this, fill in the blank." And our prayers are meant to be more than just at mealtime, like rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, Lord, amen. Prayer is a hungry heart seeking the Lord. And Jesus' heart was set for the Father. Did you know that you are mentioned in the gospel today? You are. Jesus is talking about you. In fact, he is praying for you in the passage known as the priestly prayer, the priestly high prayer. In the first part of that chapter, Jesus has been praying for his disciples, the one he would be sending out. But then if you were to fast forward to verse 20, Jesus prays for others. He says, "I do not ask for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." So pause right there. When he says "these only," he's referring to the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And here he is talking about you. Do we have faith because of the apostles and their witness? It's why we are the church. So Jesus prays for us. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, what did Jesus pray for? What does he want for us? What is his will for us? Number one, he asks this for us: that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one. Jesus prays for our unity. This isn't about warm fuzzies or holding hands or saying kumbaya by the campfire. Don't get me wrong, I love that stuff too. But unity is only possible in Jesus, and we need the Lord and each other. So this is why the Lord prays that we may be one. Because oneness leads to one mission. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demands that Linus change the TV channels and then threatens him with her fist if he doesn't. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" asks Linus. "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they are nothing, but when I curl them together like this in a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "What channel do you want?" asks Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" We are to walk the walk. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to get organized together as one. It's tough. Jesus gets it. So he prays for us. The second thing he prays for is eternal life. Jesus is praying this right as he's going to the cross. Resurrection is coming. Ascension is coming. So he prays that we may be in him to see God's glory face to face. What is heaven like? God's word says heaven is light and peace and love and no more tears and meaning the Lord Almighty. Do you think heaven will be beautiful? Do you think heaven will take our breath away? We do not have adequate human words. But Jesus prays that we get to experience heaven's glory. Jesus also prays for, number three, our protection. You've probably heard of a place down in Kentucky called Fort Knox. It keeps all of our very special gold supply, and the Magna Carta, and the Gutenberg Bible, and the English crowns. At one time, it held the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, until they were later moved to Washington, D.C. So why is Fort Knox such a good place to store valuables? Because it's a fortress. It's impossible to get inside. It's made of granite, steel, concrete. The vault is made of a 220-ton door. To open that door, several staffers wrench each dial a separate combination known only to them. And on the outside, there is a sentry posted at the entrance gate and a guard box at each corner of the building. Then there's that fence that surrounds the whole place. So why so much security? Do you ever notice the more valuable something is, the more trouble folks will go to protect it? Fort Knox is guarded by soldiers who have the instruction to eliminate someone if there is a threat. It's not a friendly place to be if you do not belong there. So keep that type of protection in mind in our gospel. Jesus prayed, Father, protect them by the power of your name. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus prays for our protection. He wanted the Father to shelter us. So how would God go about defending us? I mean, Jesus, does he lock us away from the rest of the world? Does he surround us with walls of steel and concrete? Does he set up armed guards all around us to protect us from the evil one? Well, yes and no. If you were to go to verse 15, you'd hear Jesus say, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Jesus did not want the Father to lock us away from the rest of the world. He wants to live with us in it. So let me ask you this. Are we more valuable than all the gold and silver in the world? Are we more treasured than Magna Carta and all the jewels that have ever been discovered? Jesus says, yes. He prays, he protects us, he lays down his very life for our salvation. Does prayer matter? The Bible records 222 specific prayers, actual worded prayers, not just references to prayer with statements like, he prayed or he called upon the name of the Lord, 222 actual prayers. 176 prayers are in the Old Testament and 46 are in the New. If you read through the Gospels, you will see that Jesus constantly taught, exhorted, encouraged, and inspired his disciples to pray. In the Gospel, Jesus prayed 17 times in different places at different times. Sometimes he was alone and sometimes he was with the disciples. So here's the question. Why did Jesus pray? If Jesus is God, why did Jesus need to pray? Jesus prayed because of his relationship with the Father. Do we pray because of our relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Unity, eternal life, protection. That is what Christ desires for each of us. Amen.
Hymn number 581, verses 1 and 2.
uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection. We join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. O God, call your people to be one as you are one. Unite your church in the truth of your gospel, the love of our neighbor, and the call to proclaim your reign to all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Breathe life into your creation. Guide your people as we explore the mysteries of the universe. We pray for the work of scientists and mathematicians whose skill enriches our understanding. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your justice known among the nations of the earth. Protect the vulnerable. Redirect those who use violence and greed as weapons. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come to the aid of your children. We pray for those engulfed in grief, those without supportive families, and for all who are isolated, powerless, or afraid, that all may rest their anxieties in your care. We pray for those in need of your healing and wholeness. Gary Wiedenfeld, Curtis Stover, Tim Brainerd, Steve Springer, Steve Hall, Steve Kwan, John Evelyn, the family and friends of Kelly Hendricks at her passing, Rosemary Stickrod, Willie Williams, Steve McKinney, Mike and Chantel Irby, the family of John Alston, Bowden C. Husen and family, Scott Otto, and Teresa Cox. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give courage to all who embark on new ventures. We especially remember this day those who risked their lives to serve in our armed forces. Grant safety to those serving at home or abroad, and assure them of your never-failing strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Raise all your saints to eternal life. Until that day, we give you thanks for the faithful examples of those who have listened to your voice and now rest in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering. You are encouraged to give online for the mission and ministry at the PayPal link or by mailing a check to our congregation. That information will be given to you in the comments section of this video. We appreciate your good gifts as they further sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy the Secor Family Quartet, who will be performing Exultate Jubilate.
Thank you.
pray. Merciful God, our ordinary gifts seem small for such a celebration, but you make of them in abundance, just as you do with our lives. Feed us again at this table for service in your name, in the strength of the risen one, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 656, verses 1 through 4.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.